Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All the pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck.
Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't want anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Welcome to Resistance Reactions. We are here to discuss the Triple Dark. This is our second episode of the Resistance series and second episode of Resistance Reactions. And we are having a blast doing this, and I hope you're having as much fun as we are. I am one of your hosts. I am Aaron Harris, and joining me, as always, is the best co-pilot a guy could ask for, the great David Modders. David, how are you doing?
I'm ready to fly, buddy. How are you doing?
I am doing great, my friend. Doing great. We got a full episode today. We are going to have so much fun. We got some. We're going to go over a few things. Go over the Resistance. Which Resistance character are you? Poll. Which quiz? Which the StarWars.com community put up on the StarWars.com site. Then we're going to go through the new episode, The Triple Dark, and give that show its review. Then we'll go through your emails. We got several emails in that we want to read and share, because we appreciate everybody that listens in and writes in and gives their opinions. So, sounds like fun. So, David, are you ready to go through this? Which Resistance character are you?
Absolutely. You want me to read the little intro to it, and then we'll get to question one? You want me
Absolutely.
To read it?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
All right. So it says, calling all wannabe racers, resistance fighters, and toughened mechanics. This week, we're touching down on the Colossus with a quiz that will determine if you have what it takes to join the colorful characters who make the platform their home. Find out which character is most like you, then let us know in the comments below. Strap in and hold on tight. Because here we go.
All right. So this is where the fun begins, folks. So we're going to go through these questions. We'll read the question, and then David and I will each answer it. And by the end of the 10-question quiz, we will be characters on the Colossus.
Yeah.
So just listen, prediction. Who do you think you will be, David?
I kind of thought I was going to be Nico. I kind of thought that kind of helper, optimistic. I think so. What do you think?
I'm thinking more. I was thinking Nico as well. Yeah, I could see a little bit of Jaeger, but you know, we'll find out.
Okay.
So, question number one: how would your friends describe you? Eternally optimistic, frustratingly literal, the best starfighter pilot in the galaxy, a determined and hard worker. David, how would you answer that?
Well, I put a determined and hard worker. That's a descriptor of me. So I'm gonna click that. I'll hit that one.
Well, I'm actually going with that one as well, because that's exactly what I would think as well.
Okay.
That's how I thought. I think everybody thinks of me there. So okay. Let's go on to question two. David, why don't you read this one?
Yes. Number two says, how do you handle secrets? One answer is, I need to tell someone else immediately. I'm trusted with many secrets. I have plenty of my own. Or I'm an open book. Since I read it, what's your answer? Then I'll follow up after you.
That's a good one. Because there's two here I'm looking at that would fit really good. I'm trusted with many secrets, but I also have a lot of secrets of my own. So I'm actually going to go with the fact that my friends all come running to me when they need to talk. I am going to go, I'm trusted with many secrets.
Okay. I'm so far, you and I are 2 for 2. I'm going to go the same one. As a psychologist, I am trusted with many secrets every day. So I do have to go with that one. So far, you and I have matched up.
Yeah, you probably already know my answer on this next question, David.
Well, exactly. Now, we're going to diverge here, but I got to let you go with, okay. You want to read it or do you want me to read it?
I'll read it. Question 3 is, pick a droid to take on a road trip. BB-8, C-3PO, R2-D2, or Chopper? So since we've already teased it, I'll go ahead and give my answer. I mean, if you've listened to our show, Rebels Reactions, at any point, you know that I am a huge, huge Chopper fan. And if I'm going anywhere, Chop Chop's going with me.
I've said it before, I'm shocked with your answer. Not really. No, I actually thought, just again, for me, I'm going to hit R2-D2.
Okay.
I've grown up, watching him for so many years, and I had to leave Chopper for you. It's a tough one. I mean, Chop is awesome, but I'll do R2-D2.
All right. Perfect. All right. Perfect. All right. Go ahead and read question 4, David.
Yeah. Question 4 says, what do you define as your best quality? Loyalty, trustworthiness, diligence, or discretion? You want to go on that?
Best quality, I would say, because all of them do fit, but I think most of all, I'm loyal to my friends, so I would definitely say loyalty.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'm going to hit trustworthiness, again, just because of, I think because of my career, very similar to what you were saying, people come and talk to me, but they trust me. They trust me to keep those secrets that we mentioned at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be a good spy. I'd be a good spy in Resistance. So, yeah.
Yep, I can see that.
All right, so let me hit trustworthiness. Okay, we're on to question 5.
Question 5. What is your favorite color?
They've got teal, orange, purple, and green. And my immediate response was orange because it's one of my high school colors. So I'm going to go with orange.
Okay.
And what are you going with?
I'm actually going with green.
Okay.
Because green M&Ms are my favorite.
Oh, good call. Good call, brother. Okay.
So number 6, pick a favorite subject. Physics, business, linguistics, or history? David?
Okay. I'm going to go with history. I picked history on that one.
I'm going to pick ditto and pick history as well.
Okay.
That has always been my favorite.
Nice.
So history it is. Go ahead and take number 7.
Yep. This one says, pick a ship to fly. Blue Ace, Green Ace, the Fireball, or none of these. So what do you think about that one, buddy?
Well, looking at these, blue has always been my favorite color. So I am actually going with Blue Ace.
Okay. I'm going to go with none of these.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. Just not picking a color per se, but just, I'm going to try that. Okay.
Okay. Well, just to appease my curiosity, if you had to pick a ship, which ship would it be?
I think the Fireball. I get a kick. It's the underdog.
Well, I mean, true. But you picked the other. So out of, so picking other, ship, if you had any choice in the world, in the galaxy, what would it be?
Oh, I thought if you were going to say an ace, it would be Griff Halloran. They didn't put that. You know, that's Stephen Stanton's ship.
I know.
So that's kind of my initial response was other. But if it could be any ship, it'd be the Millennium Falcon.
Okay.
But I was thinking about just in terms of aces, I like the look of that and the design that Amy Beth Christensen did with that. And if they would have shown that there as one of the 4 options, I would have picked it. So that's why I hit other. So.
Okay, cool. I like that. Very good. Very good. We got 3 more questions left. So let's go on to number 8. A friend needs something you have, but can't pay you what it's worth. What do you do? Do you barter for some lunch, maybe something nice and juicy? Do you give it away for free? Do you hand it over? Or do you hand it over? You have plenty of money and friends are hard to come by? Or your last option is hope they learn the value of hard work.
I think I like the barter for some lunch, you know, maybe something nice and juicy. I'm going to go with that. I clicked it. What do you got?
I actually was going to go with the bartering for lunch as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. You know, each person gets a little something, something.
Exactly, exactly. Number 9, David, how about you take that one?
It says, what is your dream job? Commander, mechanic, ace pilot, or security forces? You want to pick first what you'd like to do?
Well, you know, not very mechanical, so mechanic just would not be for me. Security forces could be fun. Ace pilot definitely would be fun. But I think I'm going to go with commander because I can do all of those if I choose to as the commander.
Ooh, good call. I'm with you. I think I would puke if I was an ace pilot. I see the people up there, and I think it's incredible, but you flip me around a few times. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Just like, you know, when I was watching The Last Jedi again, I don't know, a week or so ago, and I was watching Kylo Ren do that spin, you know, as he was heading towards the ship that Princess mm-hmm. Leia's in. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wouldn't know what end is up. But he just keeps flipping around and then shoots those torpedoes right into the landing bay there and blows Poe Dameron back out. I'm going to pick security forces. All right.
Perfect. And last but not least, question 10. 10 is the question. What would you do first upon arriving at the Colossus? Would you head to Aunt Z's Tavern? Would you find a place to recharge? Set up shop, or climb into the cockpit of the Fireball?
After seeing the first episode and all the characters in there, I think I would head to Aunt Z's Tavern. That looks like a lot of fun. So I'm going to click on that, okay?
All right. I would probably head to Aunt Z's as well, because after the trip, I'd probably want a drink.
That's it.
So,
all right.
Here we go, and drum rolls, please. We have our response, our answers. You have yours right, David?
I have mine.
All right. Well, who did you get?
It says you're Poe Dameron. Some may call you a hero, but you're really just a hard worker who uses their natural skills to make a difference for others. You inspire loyalty in your friends and have a certain charm and charisma that makes you a natural leader. Now, what did you get?
I got exactly the same thing, my friend.
You did not.
I did. Poe Dameron. Yeah.
Okay, that's like the force working.
Yeah, God. I did. I got Poe.
You know what that means?
Means we're a lot alike.
Yeah, you'd think we should be like co-hosts on a podcast or something.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
That's cool. I'm glad we did that. I've done all the ones before, but, you know, just kind of on my own, you know. But doing that with you, that was cool, man.
That was fun. We'll have to keep an eye out, and as those come up, we'll have to keep doing those. That was quite a bit of fun. And we know we're more alike than we thought we were. We knew we were a lot alike, but now we know we're even more alike. And if we had time, we could rewrite a Disney song to make that fit, but we don't have that kind of time, do we?
No, that was cool.
So much fun.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a great episode to discuss with the Triple Dark. And are you ready to jump into that episode, my friend?
Oh, yeah. This is be a lot of fun. This is a fun episode. We've got a lot to cover here, but I'm just going to piggyback off you and throw a few things in.
All right, well, let's go ahead and begin our review of The Triple Dark. All right, so with The Triple Dark, this was the new episode which recently aired here. I'm trying to get the episode guide pulled up here, which was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode overall. I mean, basically, this is Kaz's, the first episode after the premiere. This is episode two. We had basically Kaz struggling to fit in as a mechanic there on the Colossus as he tries to work on the shuttle and try to balance his spy mission as well. Things don't go exactly as planned. His trouble, as you know, all the antics ensue with the money he owes from the first episode, and then of course we wind up getting attacked by pirates. The Colossus gets attacked by pirates, and of course it's Kaz, unbeknownst to everybody else, winds up saving the day with BB-8's help. So great episode all around. So Triple Dark, David, what was your initial thoughts about this episode?
Yeah, I was thinking about this a bit when we were recording last week and looking at the pilot episode called The Recruit, and I get a sense that, you know, with the age range that we're looking at, that it's going to be a lot of, I think, good learning here. You know, I try to think about some of the things I learned from the original trilogy and stuff when I was growing up, and one of the things I wrote down here was Kaz is going to learn to make his way in the galaxy, you know, learning to be a spy, learning to be a mechanic. And a couple things I wrote down under that is just kind of like some of the messages you hear from Yeager, the mentor. You know, I think about Yoda, and we've talked a bit before about mentors, but being on time, following directions. You know, he shows he has a good heart, and, you know, when he helps Greevil, who's that Alina, helps save him, even though Greevil's really given him a lot of grief. He really does save his skin. And the last thing I wrote was being a part of a team, you know, especially with Tam being upset with him. You know, I think we're going to see that teamwork develop. And those are the kind of things I hope when young people watch this, they'll really pick up on what Yeager's saying and what Kaz is trying to learn. And so that's one of my initial thoughts. The other one was I love the introduction of the pirates. We can talk more about them. And then, of course, I love seeing more of the aces. I wrote a little note to myself, Freya Fenris speaks. So we finally get to hear her talk. Of course, her birthday is today, right, as we record this. McGlynn? Is that right?
Yeah. Mary McGlynn, voice of Freya Fenris, and also for Rebels fans, Governor Arinda Price. The day we're recording this, which of course is the 16th of October, is her birthday. So from all of us here, we wish you a happy birthday, Mary, wherever you are, hopefully having fun and enjoying some blue milk.
There you go, yeah. And so those were some of the initial thoughts. And one last one, speaking of the aces, we didn't see Griff out there. Griff Halloran. I thought I saw the other pilots. I guess I should have counted. But just a little side note. But those are just some of my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, those are good thoughts. And I only saw four of the pilots go out to defend the Colossus. We had Freya Fenris. We had Tora go out, and then there was who else did I see go out there?
I'm gonna look for the aces in the previous one. Who are our aces? Our aces are we have Tora Doza, Hype Faison, Freya Fenris, Griff Haller, and Bo Keevil. I guess
Bo Keevil went out, and Faison.
Okay, so the only one was Griff. Okay.
Griff is the only one we did not see.
Yeah, so I have listed five aces, and four were out there. So the only one is Griff Halloran wasn't out there. So.
Yeah. Tora, I can't pronounce her name. Fenris?
Oh, and Freya Fenris.
Freya Fenris, Bo Keevil, and Hype Faison went out and defended the place, which was really cool to see. The ships that they race are not only there for the racing, but they're also there to defend the Colossus. I think that kind of puts their whole status as aces in a different view at this point, because they're just not racing aces; they're real pilot aces. there to defend the platform, which I found very interesting. And definitely it's a group that I can see Kaz working his way into at this point, knowing that there's more to it than just the racing. It was something he could fit into quite easily with his X-Wing background.
Oh, absolutely. And what if we got Tam out there, too? So you'd be up to seven aces.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah. And they, of course, would need a flight commander, and I think Yeager would fit perfectly in that role with his background in the Rebellion.
I was just going to say that would make eight right there. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So it'd be fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Now, let's just go through and just jump into a few things. I know we were talking about the aces and everything and the way they defended the platform and seeing them out, hearing Freya speak for the first time, which was really cool. That was a lot of fun. Well, let's talk about Kaz, because Kaz is having some difficulties fitting into his role. This isn't the fun action-filled assignment that he was thinking it was going to be. There's not First Order at every turn. It's not this big exciting spy mission he was expecting. He's actually having to fit in and play his cover, which is as a mechanic, and as he says, tells BB-8, he has no clue what he's doing. He has never fixed a ship in his life. He just flies them, which can be quite frustrating for him, and makes it hard for him to fit in with everybody else, because everybody's just frustrated with his lack of knowledge. I mean, he even electrocutes poor Nico.
Yeah. Yes.
By handing him the wrong tool. And of course that was probably one of the best lines in the show, where he electrocutes Nico and goes, Kaz, can you hand me the loop spanner this time? Because not like the loop spanner I asked you for last time, but not, don't give me but you gave me the not loop spanner.
Right.
That whole sequence was perfectly funny, but it helped to show his lack of experience at that point. How do you feel Kaz is fitting in at this point? What are your thoughts on his trying to be a mechanic?
Well, you nailed it. And I think, in fact, the thing I just noticed it, because I was watching some of the episode here tonight. I've already watched it several times. But I picked up on when Kaz asks BB-8, okay, BB-8, you know, how do I do this? How do I do this spy thing? And we hear BB-8 do a series of beeps and boops and all that kind of stuff. And Kaz is like, a mechanic? I'm not a mechanic. And again, that's consistent with what you said. Here's BB-8 giving the right advice. Work at being a mechanic. Work on fitting in as a team. And then people start to feel more comfortable. You have your cover, just like you mentioned again a few minutes ago. And then you start listening in on what people say. You blend in. You blend in as a mechanic. You blend in as a member of Team Fireball. And here's BB-8 saying it. The first thing BB-8 didn't say was, well, you go listen here and you go over here and you eavesdrop on these people and this. BB-8 says, work at getting better as a mechanic. And I think that's the perfect advice. So he's got Yeager and BB-8 right there telling him the right things. But again, we've talked about teenage brain, trying to learn, and will he have the skill to listen? And, you know, we hear Yeager say that over and over, too. He emphasizes that. Blend in. Be a mechanic, and things will start to fall into place. So I was really thinking about BB-8 trying to help him with basically the question you asked me, because he is struggling to fit in.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think we'll see it. We'll see him. He'll get better.
Oh, he will. I mean, he's bound to adjust as he goes on. I know he's frustrated now because, you know, he's not doing good. He's not doing well as a mechanic. And Tam is calling him out on it, too. And she's like, where did you say you were from? Where did you learn to be a mechanic? And he's like, oh, I was self-taught, blah, blah, blah. And I only work on newer ships, not these hunk of junks. and trying to make up excuses, and she's not buying it at all. Of course not. But it definitely has got some learning experience he needs to grow into at this point, and which makes it quite interesting. Side note about the ship they're working on. The ship is, when it came flying in, the first thing I thought when I saw that ship, which the Nemoidan who brought it in, the Nemoidan's name was Halion Nark, who winds up playing a little bit of a important role in this episode. But did you recognize that ship, my friend?
Yeah, definitely. That's the Phantom. You know, from Rebel, right?
Yeah, it's the same type of ship. It appears to be the same type of ship as the Phantom II that they used in Star Wars Rebels. You know, the first Phantom was destroyed if you watched Rebels, and they replaced it with an old Confederation shuttle. And used it in its place, called it the Phantom II, and that's what it definitely was, the same kind of a ship from what I could tell, which I thought was absolutely awesome.
Oh, definitely very cool. In Bucket's list it said Halion's shuttle, I love his last name is Nark, what, how perfect, is a Sheetha-Pede shuttle first seen in the Phantom Menace episode 1, and of course, we, like I said, see it in Rebels, and Sabine painted it up too. I remember looking at some of the what was it? Whenever you and I would look at the episode guides, mm-hmm. I remember seeing some of the paint jobs that Sabine did. So it was really cool. So yeah, a good catch on that, brother.
Absolutely perfect. So definitely, we got a lot to continue to go through. Want to touch on next, of course, is Kaz's trouble with the population on the Colossus. I'm sorry, we were talking Phantom, and I kept wanting to say Phantom, and I knew that wasn't right. He's, especially with one individual in particular, he is having issues with, and that of course is Greevil, who he owes money to, and Greevil really causes him a mess in this episode. He gets sent by Yeager to the Office of Acquisitions to gather a part for this shuttle that they're working on. And unfortunately, he bumps into Greevil while trying to also do some spying, and winds up getting in a whole bunch of hairy mess. Do you ever think this situation with Greevil is ever going to get solved?
I don't know. You got to have foils, you know. You got to have foils, and Greevil and Bulls of Gruul, right? Bulls of Gruul is the big Clatoonian we talked about who throws people off the Colossus. But I wonder if it'll settle down a little bit here. But I think we'll see Greevil always kind of be that that foil, that kind of, you know, needle in the side kind of character, to kind of be somebody that Kaz can again learn from and grow from. Don't get fooled playing darts with this guy. You know, be careful of who you pick as friends and who you hang out with. So I think he'll be a lot of fun here as the series goes on, but he'll be the foil. He'll probably kind of float in and out of, you know, frustrating Kaz, I would guess.
Well, definitely he's going to be a frustration in Kaz's, almost like a thorn in his flesh for a little while, and definitely he delays Kaz quite a bit, to the point that Tam has to come looking for him, and she is not happy when she finds him, and when she gets him back to the dock, Jaeger's even less happy with him, and because what's his name, Hal. Well, I'll call him Hal for short. Hal, this show is good. I will mispronounce more names on this show. I guarantee you by the end of the first season than I did every season I hosted Rebels Reactions. I will guarantee it right now, because I've screwed up more the last two episodes when it comes to names than I ever did on that last show.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people just get a kick out of it.
Oh, my word. So, Green Hal, not to be confused with the Green Lantern, but Green Hal, he wants his ship fixed because he's bound and determined to get out of the Colossus ASAP. He needs to go. He's got to leave. And Kaz overhears him on a transmission with a gentleman named Kragan saying everything is good to go for the Triple Dark. And then, of course, Kaz overhears it, doesn't know what it means, but, you know, he's already scratching his head. This guy ain't all he is cracked up to be, is he? So he's trying to figure out what it is, and Jaeger's kind of getting on to him, because he's not really, you know, doing his job after the shuttle leaves. He's like, you know, not everything. He's like, I don't understand why with the spying and everything. You know, I know I'm not a mechanic, and Jaeger says something that's, I find really interesting at this point. He says something, you know, not everybody's going to like or understand or like that the fact that you're with the Resistance. It's like, what? They don't like the Resistance? He goes, kid, nobody knows who the Resistance is. You know, and that tells you a lot of the journey between this episode and to where we get in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, where the Resistance at this point is completely essentially unknown outside the Resistance. I mean, nobody knows who they are. The First Order probably knows who they are because they're probably, the flea flying around their head. But the Resistance is very low-key at this point, which is quite interesting. What do you think of that development in the Resistance line?
Well, this is where, you know, you and I talked about what's going to be there for us adults, what's going to be there for kids. Obviously, in the first episode, we see Kaz with the New Republic insignia on him. In fact, earlier tonight, before you and I got on, I was spending time in Ultimate Star Wars, as well as the Star Wars Visual Encyclopedia, just spending time looking at that and some of the kind of descriptions of all these different entities. In fact, I even started, I know you and I are wanting to get through Thrawn Alliances. I'd heard Dan on the main show, I believe, talking about Bloodline, and I've had that book for 2 years, and I started reading it, kind of, and it really is that process of Leia, you know, becoming, you know, tired of the politics and really knowing that the First Order is a threat out there, but the New Republic is like, you know, they're gone. They're not an issue, you know? And so I do like this. This is the meat on the bones for me. I like knowing this story, looking at how everything develops between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. So this is in my wheelhouse. I love this information. I love hearing that from Yeager and kind of getting the lay of the land. And of course, ultimately, we'll see Leia and Poe, you know, kind of rise to the forefront in The Force Awakens as the Resistance. And of course, we see what the First Order does in The Force Awakens. They destroy Hosnian Prime. And one of the things I learned from doing background and research here on Resistance is that, and I think I didn't talk about it in the first episode, but that Kaz is from Hosnian Prime because his dad is a senator there. And so we're seeing the threads starting to tie together here, brother.
Oh, definitely we are. With knowing what happened, knowing Kaz is from Hosnian Prime and knowing what happens to the Hosnian system in The Force Awakens, it makes me wonder what happens to him in the future. I'm assuming, being a kid show, he's going to survive through this. And I know from what they've said that this will carry on past The Force Awakens. in the storyline. So I can't wait to see how they handle the destruction of Hosnian Prime, the Hosnian system, and Kaz's family, essentially, assuming that they're still there, how he deals with that in the face of his mission. They're giving us a lot of stuff to look forward to, that is for sure.
Right. Justin Ridge, I remember him talking about it, that this is 6 months prior, but they've got room to work into, like you said, The Force Awakens. And so you could see some really prime emotional episodes with something like that. And as we become, again, more invested in characters, just like we did with Rebels, you know, the same here. And, you know, if that potentially happens, you know, how heartbreaking that would be for Kaz. And I'll be crying just like I was when, you know, Kanan died in Rebels. You know, I mean, goodness gracious. But we'll see. We'll see. But this is juicy. I mean, I don't know that, you know, a lot of kids are going to pick up on this. But again, there's stuff for both. This is what you and I said in the first episode. Just give this some time. Be patient with the process. Justin Ridge, like I said last episode, trained under Filoni, and I think he's going to give us a really good story. Fun stuff for kids, but the juicy, meaty mythology and history, you know, of what's going on here. So it's already moving in a direction that I very much wanted it to move.
Oh, I definitely agree. It definitely is moving in that direction, and it's going to be fun to see where it goes. But we still got a lot to cover in this episode of The Triple Doc. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will continue with our discussion. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Aaron, and David's still with me, and we're discussing The Triple Dark still. Got a few more things we want to hit on before we go into your emails, because there's just a lot packed into this episode. I know one thing we had talked about off the air, David, was Kaz's trophy.
Yes.
That's the trophy is something that he brought with him on the mission, brought it from home. At the beginning of the episode, we see him going through his bag, talking to BB-8, saying, you know, if I knew I was going to be here this long, I'd have brought more stuff. And he has the trophy out, and he's kind of sitting it on the bed, and he's looking at pretty much his bag and his trophy, and that's really all he's looking at. And of course, we have Nico walk up and be like, "Oh wow, Kaz, look at all this stuff! You are awesome. That is great. Look at this." He's like, "Ooh, what's this?" And he's like, "This is my lucky trophy." And then of course, we get the great clip of Nico, which we saw in the preview, where Nico's like, "I had a pet named Lucky once. He died. Then I ate him. Then he gave me..." And of course, Kaz cuts him off. And
love that.
Oh, it was great. Great. I like Nico with more and more every episode. I see him in every line he reads or he says is almost gold. It is gold. But Kaz's trophy, and Kaz goes into the story of the background of the trophy. He's like, you know, this is my... this is like one of his prized possessions. It's a lucky charm, he calls it. He got it from his first race. And this is where the background really comes in, where his dad told him, didn't want him to race, but he went anyway and he won the race. And it was his way of proving to his dad that he was ready for this, and this is what he was going to do. And it almost like a message of perseverance in adversity. And so it means a lot to him. And we find out through the course of the episode from Greevil that, and then again from
Orca.
Yeah. Orca. I was thinking Flicks, but I knew that wasn't right. Orca, that this is a very valuable trophy. It's made out of Ardunium, which is extremely rare, and is worth a lot. Matter of fact, Greevil even says this will pay off your debt plus interest, just by letting him take it. But he's not willing to let it go. It means a lot to him. But then, toward the end of the episode, when the pirates are attacking and and they're trying to get indoors, out of the out off the deck where they're being shot, and BB-8 and Kaz make it in. The door's closing. Greevil's running in. He's like, "Wait, no, hold the door, please stop, wait." And Kaz has no clue how to stop it, but then he pulls out his trophy and sticks it in the door and uses it as a door jam to hold the door open. And then, of course, we see Greevil trying to squeeze through the door, and his little eyes pop out of his head and everything, which is kind of humorous. And it bends up and destroys his trophy. But the trophy has a lot of symbolism for him at that point. When it comes to Kaz and his reverence to this trophy, what is your interpretation on that, as a psychologist, David?
Yeah, one of the first things that I thought about, and I love your insights on it, actually, more than mine, but my first thought before you described any of that was it being a transition object for him. We know for kids, and all of us as we develop, there's various transition objects. You don't tend to think of it that way, like I call it big words like that, but you know, for us kids when we're little, there are things like baby blankets, and there are things like, you know, like little, what do we call them, binkies and stuff that, you know, we suck on, and those things help us to transition away from our parents. That is a big part of our lives. I was, in fact, talking about this with a client today. Individuation, it's one of the developmental trajectories all of us are on. Individuation from our parents. And when we have objects like that that remind us of home, it can help us as we do transition or individuate away from our parents. I love what you said, though, and that adds even more to what I said, which is this real, again, learning lesson that he ends up sacrificing this thing to help someone, not that he likes and has been nice to him, but he uses it to help someone who's been mean to him. And that's tough to do, right? Like they say, it's one thing to be nice to people who like you. Can you be nice to people who are mean to you? And I thought that was just fantastic. You want to talk about growth right there. Sacrifice something that's a transition object that reminds you of home, that reminds you of a victory, and have it get wrecked for someone, Greevil, who's been a thorn in your side. So very rich there. Again, kids are going to just see it as something funny, but you know, you and I can go deep and psychological on it. But it's a learning lesson for him too. It allows for that.
Oh, it most definitely does. And that was well said. I mean, seeing him put that trophy into the door to hold it open for somebody who literally not 5 minutes before was holding a gun to him to take the trophy, says a lot about his character at that point and the growth he's making. I mean, he grew a lot just in those few moments, because that trophy meant everything to him. Not only reminded him of home, it was a reminder of who he is and what he's able to do. And it was a reminder that, hey, you know what? This is how I proved to my dad who I am. And it was that connection home at that point. And to see him let go of that trophy and that what it means to him in order to save a life, even if it was somebody that was trying to kill him a few minutes ago, shows what kind of character he is and what kind of character he's developing into, which is huge when it comes to this show. I mean, we're talking about a kid's show, and they just did a perfect demonstration that somebody else's life is worth more than your most valuable possession. And I love that they were able to illustrate that so perfectly in this show.
Absolutely. Agree with everything you said. And again, here's what could be really helpful to kids, right? Learning these different things. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, being on time, following directions. And I even wrote down, showing he has a good heart, right? Being a part of a team and showing that objects aren't more important than other people. And in this case, other aliens.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, and speaking of aliens, you mentioned aliens, and that's a perfect transition point. We have a lot of aliens in this episode. I absolutely love it. We got an endless supply of aliens on the Colossus. I mean, watched a bunch of Rebels episodes. We've seen a lot of Star Wars movies, and we're used to, especially in the movies, we're used to seeing different aliens and everything, especially in like cantina scenes and stuff like that. But we get a wide range in this episode, from the Nemoidans. We see Rodians, Nyctos. And I'm just reading the list off of StarWars.com here because a lot of them I recognize, some of them I didn't. Thorians, it was good to see the Thorian there. Some Clatonians, Quarren, Hosks, the Trandoshan pirate, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. That was awesome. So definitely good to see that whole world of the alien species coming into play again, which is just was one thing that always drawled people to Star Wars to begin with.
Well, yeah, and what I did, and the reason why I did have out, you know, my Ultimate Star Wars and my Star Wars Visual Encyclopedia, two huge volumes, was to help me with some of these. Now, last session or last episode, remember you and I was saying, who was that person that, you know, the character, what species was it that was, you know, Andy Gutierrez's character? And I figured it out. It's a Thelan. And I was actually looking in my Star Wars Visual Encyclopedia here, and I'm going to grab it right now. And it says that Lots Razi, she was a Thelan in the Clone Wars. Lots. So check this out. What I did is I updated last week's and then this week's episodes.
Okay.
So I'm going to read off the creatures we saw in the first episode. Now, there was crossover, like the ones you were reading. I looked at that, too. But I'm going to read everyone that I saw in the first episode and then the new ones in this next episode. So last week, premiere episode, we saw Bith, Rodian, Gorgs, Shatterfan, which is, you know, Orca, Nico. Nico is a Nitko. Ithorian, right? The Hammerheads. Snivians, the Snaggletooths. Alina. We saw Clatonian, right? That's Bulls of Gruul.
Yeah.
Fragotians. He's the Pumpkinhead that you mentioned. Thelan, and I can't believe I didn't say this last week, and I wrote it down to make sure I said it, is Abinetto, right? That's who we saw in the movies, and it was the Beastie Boys character, Eloast. There you go.
Yeah.
So now we see some of these characters, you know, like you said, the Hammerhead, the Snivians, and stuff like that, Clatoonian and stuff like this, in this next episode. But here's the new ones that I had this week. Now again, it's just, and I took it off the list you were mentioning, but they're new in this one. Nemoidians, right? Halion is a Nemoidian. We saw Nautilin in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Mirrorlands. The pirate with Craig and Gore is listed as a Mirrorland, and so I wanted to look that up. And our listeners might recognize that Mirrorlands are the species that Barriss Offee and Luminara Unduli are. Now, in this episode, you couldn't really tell, you know, her face is covered up, and she has a helmet on in that ship, that pirate ship. And so I only know that from the episode guide. It said that she is. We see a Gotal, right? G-O-T-A-L. That was the one I was trying to figure out last week as well. In fact, I should have listed that last week, a Gotal, G-O-T-A-L. They're the ones with the two horns and stuff, long fingers.
Okay.
Yeah. Quarren, Craig and Gore, the pirate captain, is a Quarren. And of course, we've seen those in the Clone Wars. The Hasks, remember the Hask brothers? They were in The Force Awakens.
Yep.
Check this out. So again, I'm in this section where all these characters are in here and their species. And so in the Star Wars Visual Encyclopedia, I'm on page 41, and it has the Hasks. And it says, large eyes have excellent night vision. Powerful jaws can cause serious damage. Now here's the last one, Aaron.
Okay.
Smelly, mangy skin disease from sleeping in dung heaps.
There you go. Gosh.
So those are so that Hask was in a pirate ship. You know, remember he was like kind of screaming like his head was hurting. But I thought our listeners would like to know that Hasks hang out in dung heaps. I think that's, you know, information that people need to know.
And where else would you get information like that except for right here on Resistance Reactions?
We go to the next level.
We find out who's sleeping in the dung heap, and we let you know.
It's the Hask.
I'm sure they're not the only ones.
Maybe, I don't know, who... I'm thinking of Zero the Hutt, and I'm thinking of Jabba the Hutt, and I'm thinking about, you know, well, actually, their mama. She's in the dung heaps there on what? Cato Nemoides,
exactly.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Boy, was she nasty. And then the last one is what you said, Trandoshan, the pirate. And so those were all the new ones. Now, there's one more, and I could not find it. I looked in the, I got to look through it more, you know, Ultimate Star Wars and the Star Wars Visual Encyclopedia. The Arcona. Now that's on that list you were looking at. A-R-C-O-N-A. And I looked in the back, you know, where you look in the index, and I looked under the A's in both books, and I couldn't find Arcona. But anyways, we'll figure it out eventually. But there's last week and this week. There's all of the different species that we've seen, and maybe I've missed one. But so far so good. There's a ton.
No, you've got it all figured out, and that's something we'll have to keep track of as we go on and just keep going through all the aliens that we keep seeing, because it seems like we're getting introduced to new ones day in and day episode by episode, I should say. So it'll be fun to see the expansion of the galaxy with these aliens as they go on.
Yeah. Definitely. It'll be fun to keep track of.
Absolutely. So let's you know, talk about the crutch of the events. Let's talk about the pirate attack. Because that actually was quite exciting. We get the pirates coming out of the storm. They were using it for cover as they came in their ships, and their main ship, I absolutely loved it, was a modified Lambda shuttle, which of course you would recognize Lambda shuttles. That was the Tiderian, a similar shuttle to the shuttle Tiderian from Return of the Jedi. Nice Imperial shuttle. Looks like they added a few wings to it though, and modified it for their dastardly pirate deeds. And no, Hondo Ohnaka was not leading these pirates. To our disappointment. But instead we get Cragan Gore, who's a new pirate. We find out as time as goes on, Green Hal, Halion Monarch, was basically spying on the Colossus for Cragan. And we see them come out and just start blowing everything up. Their goal is, of course, trying to take out, we ultimately don't know what their ultimate goal was. We know they wanted to get through the defenses and take out the fuel depot and take out the shield generator. What they would have done after that, I don't know. But definitely we see a variety of pirates, and what I like about it is we're seeing a variety of ships. So, and again, like some of the ships on the Colossus, these look like ships that have been pieced together out of old Imperial parts. It looks like I see parts of TIE fighters. I even see, looks like some of them even look like they're parts of Rebel ships too, from back in the day. So what were your thoughts on these pirates, David?
Yeah, very cool looking. And you know, this, the introduction of them is obviously critical, and it leads to the last scene that we see. Do we want to talk about that a little bit, and really the whole point of it? I mean, it's kind of, you know, like you said, Halion is spying, and they're trying to get, you know, through the defenses. And I think it's gorgeous. I love these ships, just like you said. They're modified, chopped up, all that, very cool looking. I love the dogfight up there with the aces. And then ultimately, right, we see, we learn that Major Von Rigg, he's the one in the red, right? He's the crimson
TIE fighter pilot.
Yes, thank you. And I mean, he's standing there with Phasma, and Phasma is not impressed. She mentions Major Von Rigg. She also mentions, I think it's Commander Pyre. I don't know that we've seen him yet.
No, not him yet.
And then Craig and Gore ends it by saying that he'll get Captain Doza to give in. And, of course, we know Captain Doza is Tora Doza's dad, and he is the person who is the, what?
He's the head of the Colossus.
Yeah, the head of Colossus, the head person there. So so clearly Phasma's done this, her and Major Von Rigg, to kind of stay, you know, to keep the First Order hidden, right, from the New Republic. So they have these, and I love it. Again, here's more of the meat on the bones for you and me. This is where you see the First Order staying undercover, saying, hey, we'll hire you guys to do attacks on the Colossus. Maybe ultimately they wanted the First Order as a fueling depot, right, to fuel their, you know, their war machine. And I love that. I love that ending. I loved Craig and Gore throwing Halligan under the bus, you know. I just, you know, it was really cool. Again, this is kind of what is leading up to The Force Awakens. So very cool stuff.
It really is. I mean, as for Commander Pyre, we have not seen him in the episodes yet. He is in the previews, in the trailer. He's the stormtrooper in the gold.
Yes.
Pyre. But we haven't seen him in the show yet. But what kind of struck me, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, watching this episode, seeing how this was developing and how the First Order was using the pirates to do their bidding on Colossus without directly involving the First Order. It's easy to blame it on pirate attacks. Nobody's thinking of the First Order. They're essentially using the First Order, essentially using the pirates the same way that the Republic's using the Resistance.
Because
the New Republic doesn't want, as we know from Force Awakens, that Republic doesn't want a war. They don't want anything to do with any type of conflict or anything with the First Order, but yet they're supplying under the table the Resistance.
Very good point. Yep, you're right. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
So we're seeing similar tactics between the First Order and the Republic.
Right. No one can be out in the open, but all this stuff is going on behind the scenes. Yeah.
It's all about what happens under the table.
Isn't it always?
Always about what happens under the table. And we know there's some underhanded stuff going through there. I will say it was good to see Phasma in this episode. When Force Awakens came out, I had so much hope for Phasma. It was probably outside of seeing Luke and Han and Chewie and Leia on the big screen again, I was so excited to see Phasma because I wanted to see what kind of, this chrome trooper, this with the black cape with red trim. I was stoked to see Phasma. And I was walked out of that theater highly disappointed. Then they came back, she'll be in The Force Awakens, or she'll be in The Last Jedi. She's going to be in The Last Jedi. It's going to be great. I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. This is her redemption for, and I walked out even more disappointed the second time. So I kind of hesitant to get my hopes up.
Right.
I hope they use her well. I hope we see a great storyline from Phasma. I hope we see a lot of Phasma. I love the fact that Gwendolyn Christie's still voicing her. But I hope we see a lot of interaction with Phasma. I hope we see a lot of action. I hope it's exciting. Needless to say.
Agree with you. One of the things I would just quickly say is I love her voice as Phasma. I love the amplification, the sound of it, you know, the way she sounded in The Last Jedi, the way she sounded in The Force Awakens. Completely agree with you that I just was like, man, I thought they would use her so much more. Like one of the coolest outfits, right? We know the metal is from what, one of Palpatine's old shuttles, right? We learned that in the Phasma novel. I read the novel.
See, I haven't read the novel, so that's news to me.
Right. And that's why, in fact, when you watch The Last Jedi, like I told you, I watched it again. I just had an inkling. I'm like, I want to watch this. And I watch it on Netflix. Obviously, I have it on Blu-ray and stuff. But I thought, well, let me just, right, The Last Jedi and Rogue One are both on Netflix. But you get to the scene where you see, is it Finn or is it Rose. She pulls out a blaster, shoots it right at Phasma there, right? And it goes ping right off her armor, right? Where that, if that hits a stormtrooper, a First Order stormtrooper, they're going to go down. But if you remember, I remember watching it, and it was so neat to watch it just deflect off of her armor. Mm-hmm. And that's what would happen if someone was trying to shoot on Palpatine's shuttle. It has that special material. I'd have to pull the book out to see, because she forges her armor from that. One of Palpatine's old shuttles, and that's why you see that deflect off in The Last Jedi.
Okay,
so just beyond cool, but still just not used enough. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at her info in the databank on StarWars.com, and it says her armor's is from salvaged chromium. It doesn't say what it was salvaged from.
Yeah.
But you said in the book it specifies it's from Palpatine's shuttle. That is awesome.
Yes, yes.
It's awesome. You say, I learned something every day here. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I was reading that part about Phasma too in the on StarWars.com, but I wish they. I didn't know why they wouldn't put that. Maybe I'm not sure, but that's really cool. But like you said, we won't get our hopes up, but we'll see how they use her.
No. Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, definitely, it's a lot. This episode was a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, and we're starting to see after a little bit of a slower first episode with a lot of groundwork laid, we're starting to see a little bit of action start to pick up here as it goes on, and we're seeing starting to see some growth in our characters. But let's go ahead and start looking at wrapping it up, David. When it comes to your final thoughts on the Triple Dark, what are you thinking?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was talking about a couple things. One was something that's permeated the entire episode that you and I've done here, which is really this learning process that we're going to see Kaz go through, learning to be on time, following directions. You know, the episode shows that he has a good heart, and it really shows that through the use of that trophy. I do really like how you brought that up earlier in the episode and talked about him sacrificing something very important to him to help someone, and not just help somebody, but help someone who's been quite mean to him. So, seeing this growth process in Kaz, starting in this first episode after the pilot episode is really neat to see, and I'm excited to continue to see that in the episodes to follow. And the other final thought I had was, again, something that you and I have talked about last week in the initial episode as well as tonight. You and I talked about the stuff for adults in here, the meat on the bones, not just the funny slapstick stuff, but the little titration of information about the First Order, the introduction of the pirates in this episode and how they are working for, Major Von Reg and Commander Pyre, that gold First Order stormtrooper that you had mentioned. That has me fascinated. And so I like how they're just kind of laying the breadcrumbs for us and keeping me excited as an older Star Wars fan. So those are some of my initial thoughts, my final thoughts on this really enjoyable episode.
Oh, very good, very good. And, it is kind of like a initial thought because we just started recording again. the irony in this is it's been quite frustrating because of this, but you know what? We march on. Everything you said is exactly right. I absolutely agree with you on everything. We had this was a good second episode for the series. It provided some action in the pirates. We got to see some First Order interaction at this point. We got to see Kaz actually, you know, be a hero. I mean, yes, he raced in the first episode. He didn't win, but he gave it a good go. He learned a valuable lesson. It's not all about winning. He pulled back and learned a good lesson, which was well received. Yeah. This episode, to me, took it a step better because he actually was able to be the hero we know he is. We know he's an X-Wing pilot. We know he's was trusted on a special mission to deliver data to information to the Resistance and wound up joining the Resistance because Resistance. Not insistence, the Resistance because of that. So we know the type of person he is. Him and Poe are probably sliced from the same bread, just Poe's probably a little better pilot. So we get to see him actually be the hero. Nobody else knows he played the hero in this. Nobody else knows what he did. Nobody else knows he saved the Aces from the pirates, but he did. And he knows it, and I think that being able to participate in that, he even says that at the end of this episode, you know, there's so much more than the First Order here, where there's the pirates, and he's realizing there's more for him to do besides spy for the First Order, and he got his first glimpse of doing that, and I absolutely loved it. Definitely Niku, comedy all the way. I absolutely love the guy. You know, I'm thinking, you know, he's so far each episode, he's got this nice quirky little, there's always one saying that sticks out. The first episode is the whole, I'm going to go out and ponder the depths of your deception. And this one, it was like, I had a pet named Lucky. He died. Then I ate him. You know, he's got that. It's just that little bit of just awesomeness that just makes you smile and laugh. I'm actually thinking we need to start doing Nico's saying of the week.
I like that a lot.
So you may hear that in our next episode, folks. It was just a great all around episode. I like the direction they're going. You could tell after the first episode, they actually started picking up a little bit of speed with some of the storytelling. And actually got into some action and got into some more meat. And we got to see the First Order. I loved seeing Phasma. She looked great. Von Reg just looks awesome to begin with, especially after seeing him in the recruit battling the X-Wings and Poe. So I love the direction we're going, and I can't wait to see how this plays out going forward. Of course, if you've listened to our last episode, our premiere episode of The Recruit, of course, if you've listened to any of the Rebels reaction shows, you know we always grade each episode. We give it an A, B, C, D, or F rating. I can honestly tell you, in the years I've done podcasting, I've never seen anybody get below a B minus. To my recollection, I don't think anybody went lower than a B minus. But you know what? We're going to do it anyway. So rating this episode, I think this was a good, solid episode. It had fired on all cylinders. It hit all the spots that needed to be hit. I'm actually going to give this one actually a minus based on just how smooth the storytelling was. It gave us some growth inside of Kaz. And it was just all around fun. David, when it comes to grading it, how would you grade The Triple Dark?
Yeah, I was just looking back at our grades for the initial episode. I gave it an A-, you gave it a B+. I'm gonna do the exact opposite. You did A-, I'm gonna do a B+ for this one. I was kind of comparing it to that initial one, and I think I enjoyed the interactions with Orca and Flix more. I don't know if it was my awe and wonder of seeing all this new stuff in the first episode. I liked Poe. I like what you just said a minute ago and your final thoughts about Kaz and Poe being cut from the same cloth or, you know, cut from the same bread. I really like that. But Poe being a better pilot. I really liked seeing Poe and how much they put him in that initial episode, more than I thought, honestly. I did not think it was going to be that much. So I really enjoyed that. I think even the humor of Nico in the first episode was, it seemed like even more. There was more of getting to know him there. So a few of those things just kind of give it the nod for me. Just, again, we're almost splitting hairs, but I'm going to go with a B+. And, of course, you've got an A-. So, or you're giving it an A-. So there's our grades.
Yes, and those are our grades, folks. Definitely let us know what you thought of the episode and what you thought about what how you would grade it. You can, of course, hit us up on Twitter at Resist Reactions. On Facebook, just search out Resistance Reactions, and you'll find us there as well. Or you can email us at resistancereactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. So, with that, we did get some messages and some emails giving us some feedback on the Triple Dark. Our first one came from Sam Scares One. I think that's just a play on words for Halloween here. His Twitter handle is at SKAMZ23. And he wrote, "This episode shows us the potential of this show to blend fun adventure themes of Kaz and his crew with the darker elements of the Star Wars universe. We begin to see how the First Order can, through pirates and other baddies, cross paths with Kaz." That almost rhymes. The First Order scene at the end is a reminder to the audience that something bad is coming that will greatly shift the tone of the show. The episode fun with great pacing and seamlessly weaved Kaz's mechanic plot into the larger story of the Resistance versus the First Order. Excellent episode. Well said, Sam.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. And even like he's talking about the foreshadowing of more and more turns to come. And that's going to be, I'm excited for that. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in these episodes. And I agree with what he's saying. We're going to have a lot more twists and turns.
We do. This email message this email will interest you quite a bit, David. Let me just read this and you'll get a kick out of this.
Okay.
"This is a close personal friend of Willard Tarkanis. I am General Hux. I mean, Corporal Flux. He has informed me that not only about this new podcast called Resistance Reactions, he has told me about the possible resistance activities on the Colossus platform. I will be working closely with Willard Tarkanis to make sure that you two, Star Wars fans," and he's put that in quotations, apparently we're quotes now, "are looked after. He and I will also be keeping an eye on the Colossus. I'm sure Phasma and Major Von Reg are up to something out there as well. Not that I know anything. I'm not General Hux or anything. We have a lot to learn."
I love it. So, you know, we're getting more and more, you know, Willard Tarkanis, General Flux. We're, you know, there. I sense something going on. I sound like, who is it? Jedi Master Mace Windu. I sense a disturbance. I sense a plot to overthrow the Jedi. So I sense a plot to overthrow you and me, Aaron, and this podcast. This is fun. It's fun to get these. I get a sense, like I said, we're not only going to get more from Willard Tarkanis, but from General Flux.
Absolutely. I think we will. If Willard did say last time he had a friend, he would be contacting us. So,
And
I was proved wrong. I said, I bet he doesn't have any friends, and I was wrong. So my hat's off to Willard, wherever he is. We have one final message. This one's from Cameron Ramos. Again, he messaged us for the first episode and gave us some more feedback on Triple Dark. Cameron Ramos, his Twitter handle is at CamRamos95. And he says, "Hey guys, great first episode of Resistance Reactions last week. It was really enjoyable. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on Triple Dark, on the Triple Dark episode that premiered this past Sunday. I was excited to see Phasma pop up in this episode. I was really disappointed in her characters and I was really disappointed with her character in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, but I'm hoping that this show can resurrect her and give her character more substance, kind of like what the Clone Wars and Rebels did for Maul. I'm excited to learn what, why she is working with the pirates and what, who is on the Colossus that she keeps wanting so badly. Keep up the great work, gents." Cameron, thank you so much for that message, and thank you for the kind words. We're definitely glad you enjoyed the first episode, and we're glad you're sticking with us there. Loved your thoughts. I mean, definitely, he's echoing some of the remarks I made earlier in the show with Phasma. I hope they use her a lot better than they did in Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, because I was also very disappointed in those in the handling of her character in those. So, but I love the comparison to Maul, though. That would be awesome, though, because they did give Maul quite a bit of life after, you know, the disappointing end in Phantom Menace. What do you think, David?
Oh yeah, I really like what Cameron's saying there. I love that comparison, and like you said earlier in this episode, you and I did talk about the use of Phasma and those things, and it seems pretty consistent across Star Wars fandom that people really want to see more of her, and people really like Gwendolyn Christie. I said it earlier. I love her voice, and how they modulate it, and just like Cameron said, I hope that we can see a lot more of that, hear her speaking, watch her working behind the scenes, working with Major Von Reg, Commander Pyre. I'm excited. I hope that they can do some justice to the character and really have us think a bit differently about her.
Oh, definitely. I hope they do. And a lot of work to see. And I have a feeling we haven't seen the end of her. We'll see a lot more of her time goes on, as she's working with the pirates and the baddies. I like how he worded that. So definitely thanks for the email messages, Cameron and Sam, and Corporal Flux. Yeah, I'm sure we look forward to hearing you all, from y'all again. Like I said, folks, we want to hear from you. Just give us those, send us a direct message or email, and we will have those links in the show notes. Definitely, we had a great time with this episode, and we're going to have a great time with the next episode as well. It's going to be a blast, for sure. I can't wait to record it. Fuel on the Fire is the next episode?
Fuel for the Fire.
Fuel for the Fire, that's it. I knew I was on the right path. Fuel for the Fire. It's going to be a great episode to review. So definitely keep your ears and eyes out for ears, because your eyes aren't going to do any good, because you're not going to be able to watch the episode. You're not going to watch our episode. Anyway, I'm getting besides myself again.
Yeah, well, something I liked, Aaron, is earlier today you had posted something on the Twitter feed, the Resistance Reactions Twitter feed we have, of a short clip from that episode called Nice Bikes. And and so I'm really glad you posted that. And, you know, I do want persons who listen to know that you and I were on there, and we're always checking and posting. I'm retweeting stuff that you put, and I really like being on that that Twitter feed and just, you know, texting with people and tweeting with people and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh yeah, we're very much about interacting with other Star Wars fans and, of course, listeners to the show. And we definitely don't hesitate to hit us up. We would love it, whether it's on the Twitter feed, which gets most of our attention. But I'm also having a lot of fun on Facebook as well. So definitely hit us up and strike up a conversation. It'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, though, if you are in need of more of a Star Wars fix for your addiction, like we're addicted to it, the Coffee with Kenobi family of podcasts is a great place to go. For the latest news and information, you can always go to coffeewithkenobi.com. A lot of breaking news there. Some of the best blogs you'll find there as well by some of the best bloggers around. Of course, you can always listen to the flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi, hosted by Dan Z. If you like comic books, Matt and Jeff have a great show called Comics with Kenobi. That will fill you in on everything you need to know about comics. They review the issues that come out. They let you know what's coming out in the future. They just had on the recent episode, they had a great interview with Charles Soule.
It was awesome.
a great interview. And of course, Charles Soule's an excellent writer. So definitely check that out. If you like reading and you like the books, Legends Library with Luke and Randy are awesome. They just go through all of the Legends books from the old Expanded Universe, which are now Legends, and go through those. If you enjoy those, definitely check that out. Definitely show them some love. Randy's actually the guy who actually put together our theme song, our intro music. So he did a great job on that. Thank you, Randy. So we appreciate that. And of course, last but not least, we have Lattes with Leia. Great show with Amy and Andrea. Of course, Amy Ratcliffe is hosting one of the hosts of Celebration this year, and it's been a host of Celebration in the past. So definitely a lot of great stuff coming from the Coffee with Kenobi family of podcasts. So definitely check them out. David, if somebody wants to engage on social media with you about Star Wars or about anything in general, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, it is on Twitter. It's David_Modders. Last name is MODDERS. And then, of course, the email is dmodders@coffeewithkenobi.com. And just like we said a few minutes ago, it's really fun to strike up conversations, chat with some of the listeners, and you and I respond, and we have fun with it. It's great to talk to people. So yeah, hit me up, and we'll just have fun geeking out on Star Wars.
Absolutely, we sure will. Of course, to get a hold of me, of course, you can always hit me up on Twitter's the best place, at taharris121079. Give us a look up, and let's talk. If you want to email me, it's aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. But definitely thank you, everybody, for listening. David, pleasure as always, my friend. We look forward to the next episode, Fuel for the Fire. It's going to be a lot of fun. Till then, remember, this is the Resistance podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
Okay, so the only one was Griff. Okay.
Griff is the only one we did not see. And I'm telling my computer not to update right now. Don't update right now.
Oh. And
remind me later. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah. It just popped up and tried to take over. Bad computer.
So, or you're giving it an A-. So there's our grades. Are you there, buddy?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh.
Had my mic muted. Forgot to unmute it. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, my God. You made me nervous again. I'm like, oh, my God.
Nope. My bad. Forgot to unmute the mic.
Okay.
Cha-ching. Well, thank you so much. Whoa. Thank you so much, Carlos. Let's try this again.
Is this either a Carabas moment or it can't be a Nico quote? This is a Carabas.
This is a Carabas moment. Carabas.
There we go.